focus on training on X platform or X concept, but they don't make it real for the educators. And that is really key to making the learning sticky.
Welcome to season 2 of Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branchy Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts, and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Maybe you've been listening for a while, or this is your first episode. If you like what you hear, would you do us a favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes? This is a fantastic way to tell us you enjoy what we are creating. Also, if you want more MTSS resources, sign up for our weekly newsletter using the link in the show notes. Professional development is a contentious topic for many educators who have sat through irrelevant and out-of-touch training at some point in their careers. So how can leaders make it more meaningful? For the new era of the podcast, we are continuing our series of Ed Hot Takes, conversations around those tough questions and hot topics. For today's episode, I am welcoming Lisa Marcourt Kroll, who is our instructional design manager here at Branchy Minds and is a former educator and professional development trainer. And she's got lots of different experience as far as professional development goes. And so I invited her to come on here and talk a little bit about PD, everyone's favorite topic. But I would love to hear, I'm just going to kind of jump right into some questions about PD. So Lisa, what is something that many people aren't necessarily thinking about when it comes to professional development?
So one thing that I think people don't necessarily think about is the use of case studies in their professional development and story, basically. That's really important because it helps people put themselves in the educator's shoes or in their students' shoes. So making sure that educators have plenty of time to practice what I have done to execute on that is really to build case studies with like assessment profiles, give the student a name, and then ask people to determine what would you do to provide intervention for this student based on the data that you're looking at. So different things like that so that you can see how that works, or explaining we have X feature, this is how this teacher is going to use that feature and why they're using that feature. So that's one of the things that I think people sometimes forget. They focus on training on X platform or X concept, but they don't make it real for the educators. And that is really key to making the learning sticky so that they actually take it in.
I love that you use the phrase make the learning sticky. That's so great. We're not talking about glue sticks, but just making it stick in the brain. But you're right. Like I feel like we talk about when you mentioned case study, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, I think back to my like pre-service training and we learned a lot of theory and it didn't become real until we got into the classroom and started implementing those things. And so many of your like case study or like your real practice happens in real time as you're a first year teacher, a second year teacher. And it's like, why not build some of those skills through case study and through conversation and build hypothetical? Yeah. Like it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. One of my best grad school assignments that I ever received was in a principal program. And the person who was training us was a principal, which was awesome in and of itself. But they actually printed off bunch of emails that they would have received as a principal. And we were given like 90 minutes to go through all the emails, decide which ones we were going to prioritize and which ones we were going to answer immediately and which ones could wait a day or two. And it was so real world. It was pretty awesome because we're like, oh boy, like we think we get a lot of emails now. Imagine if you're a principal or a superintendent, you've got a lot to go through and to think about. And so that was really impactful to me. And so that's even a case study. Like, what are some real world things that you can do in your professional learning that's less about point and click and more about how will I apply it?
Yeah. Oh man. I think that that's really true. Like, I think that that idea of that real world practice is so needed, and to bring in, I love that, that he brought in like the actual, you know, emails, or maybe he pulled them from his inbox or whatever. Yeah. But like, I think that that, that kind of real experience does make the learning sticky because you remembered it and mm-hmm. it probably impacted how you approached email in the future. I mean, that's like, that's an, I think an underestimated or like sort of misunderstood part of the job of a principal is how much mm-hmm. communicating, or just, I think leaders in general,
yeah.
like how much communicating has to happen. And that is a great, as a great practice. Mm-hmm. But I think that that like building in, so when you think about people who are building PD mm-hmm. for their school or their district, or even for just like an organization, how do you think that they should approach it? Like, how, I mean, is there sort of too much case study that you can do, or like where in the process should they bring in that, that case study?
Really the best point to bring that in is when you're assessing the extent to which people have met standards or a learning progression. So if we think about learning progressions with individual students, we start with the standard that we're trying to achieve and then our learning targets. And then we think about what are the steps that we need to achieve to get there. And when you're building professional learning, you really want to think about that, not just for students, but for your educators. What is our standard that we're focusing on? So we might be pulling that standard from Learning Forward. They have quite a few professional learning standards that educators can use. And then using that to develop learning targets and learning and success criteria within the learning progression. So then once you've got your learning progression set up, you can be thinking about what can I do to assess my educator's ability to execute on that success criterion. And so one example is that that principal email inbox, like that assesses X standard of ability to prioritize. So it can be an assessment, can be just a task like that. It doesn't have to be a multiple choice or an essay or being able to stand up in front of a group and explain something or present something. It can be instances like that. So just keep in mind, I mean, the case studies are generally ways to, sometimes they're ways to assess. Other times they're ways for the professional development facilitator to teach. So it kind of can go back and forth. But ultimately, I don't think there's such a thing as too much case study, because that's really how people are going to understand and be able to apply it when they go back to their classrooms the next day.
Mm. Well, and I mean, that's the thing that a lot of educators want out of professional development is like, what is something I can apply right away? Like,
yeah,
I think we spend a lot of time talking about really great ideas and theories and stuff, but if it's not relevant to their work, it's not going to stick. Like from what I know about adult learning, like it has to be extremely relevant to their role. And many times professional development that I sat through, I mean, I'm a learner, so I mean, there's, mm-hmm. I always get something out of it, but there is that sense of how can I apply this right away?
Right. Yeah. And I think the other big piece is allowing for some level of choice. So if you have a room of K-12 educators, you're probably going to want to have some different examples that are secondary examples, that are elementary examples, that are science examples, instead of just your ELA and your math examples. So be thinking about ways to engage everyone in that work. And if it's something that's not applicable to a group, don't make them sit through that. Like, they should have a separate PD that they're working on that actually applies to them. So I think it's also making sure you have the right people in the room, and that you're meeting the needs of the audience in front of you.
Well, you answered my second question today, was going to be about making PD more effective. And you're right. Like, don't make them sit through something that's not relevant to them. I love what you said about providing those different types of examples of, like, you know, if you're doing K-12, like, have those different levels of examples or case studies. And then I also think, like, one group that I think often gets left out of professional development is that those electives, mm-hmm. or specials, or performing arts, or whatever the other people besides the general education classes. And I think providing examples and case studies that are relevant to them, and, like, how does it work in their mm-hmm. classroom? If it's, you're teaching a instructional concept, or, you know, like, how are they going to be using this piece of technology in their classroom, I think is really important as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think part of it is also choosing initiatives that apply to everyone. So a focus on writing or vocabulary can work in the gymnasium just as well. It can work in the music classroom and in the ELA reading, math, science classrooms. I've seen that work really well across the board. When I did middle school as a literacy coach, our PLC goal was all about writing. And it was crazy because the kids all of a sudden saw that writing was important in all the subjects. And so the kids had a realization of how important that was. And it was really impactful to be talking with each other as cross content about how does writing look in this discipline versus that discipline. So I think it can have a huge impact as well. And thinking about those initiatives and something that will apply to everyone is also really important.
Mm. Okay, that is a lot. Even I'm just thinking about this, and I was like, just this concept itself of, like, case studies plus making sure that you're providing relevant, you know, to every different level is a lot to, like, take in. So yeah. I appreciate you coming and talking about this. I think it is really important for, as we think about professional development and helping educators provide, you know, have the learning that they need and I think it's empowering to be able to learn, to gather the relevant stuff. So thank you so much for chatting with me today. And absolutely. I just appreciate your work. So thank you.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.